Hey guys, happy new year. Great to be here with you guys. We're going to get started here in just a couple of minutes. Hey, while we're waiting for everyone to join the call, let me know in the chat area. Did you do anything fun during the break? What did you do? Did you go anywhere? Let us know. Let's see, who do we have here? Hey, Doug, good to see you. It's been a while since we talked. Erica, welcome. Good to see you here. Hannah, welcome. All right. Let's see. Erica says, lots of skating and sledding with the kids. Happy New Year. All right. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. That sounds like fun. So, obviously cold enough where you are, Erica, up there in Canada. I know some parts of Canada were having warmer than normal weather in December. We had kind of a weird break. It was really cold, and I was actually wearing a t-shirt on Monday. We usually take off day after Christmas and we go to the beach. We've been doing that the past 3 years. This year we decided to go to the mountains. So we rented a cabin and just relaxed. And honestly, out of 4 days, the first three were raining. So we got one day where we could go on hikes, but we made the best of it. We had a good time. It's good to kind of get out of your environment every once in a while. It feels weird. Like when you get back, it feels like you've been gone for longer, which is a good thing. No snow, just for fun. No snow, no fun. Yeah. No kidding, Doug. And yeah, you've been having a warm winter. It's like, seems like the whole eastern U.S. has been another one of those weird, warmer than usual years. Anna says she stayed with her folks in Ohio for a couple of weeks. Probably more fun for me than for my husband. Yeah. Wow. So you went a long ways from Southern California, right? Awesome. Yeah, it is quite a trip, especially during the holidays. Just crazy airports, and get a little spoiled here in Atlanta. We can fly anywhere direct. So when I do have to make a stop, I'm completely spoiled. I just won't do it. All right. I'm sure we're going to get a couple more folks in the call, but let's go ahead and get started, guys. So let me get things set up here. We got the recording going. As usual, I'd like to start on a positive note here. So if you would, in the chat area, type in a capital W and let us know about when you've had since our last call. Over the past few weeks, again, a win is really anything that you feel good about. So it could be anything big or small, anything where you feel like you're making progress, anything you feel good about. There's no judgment here at all. You know, it could be, hey, I finally got a little bit of clarity on something, or I made a breakthrough, had a breakthrough, made progress with a prospect. Somebody came back to me after a year of not getting in touch. Whatever it is for you, let us know so we can celebrate your wins and just recognize that you're making progress. Doug says, ongoing direct opportunity with a client who surfaced via an agency relationship. Hey, I saw that in the Facebook group. That's fantastic. Doug, that's sounds like it's going to be a great opportunity. So keep us posted on that. Excited for you. Sounds like that might take care of whatever capacity you had left, right? If it goes well. All right. Erica says, wrapped up my big projects for 2018. After a good 2 weeks off, I feel refreshed and ready to take on 2019. This year, I'm paddling, not going with the flow. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Give your business some direction. Wonderful. Great to hear that. Yeah, it's so important to take that time, right, and just kind of recharge and refocus. It's amazing what, and I think there's a lesson there, what even just a couple of days out of your regular environment can do to kind of help you reframe and see things a little differently. So good to hear. Hannah says, I did my year-end review, set goals for 2019, and set up my new pivoting slash marketing plan. Wonderful. Fantastic. Good stuff. All right, I got somebody who just joined us here, and I was also checking to see if we have any pre-submitted questions. I want to remind everybody that a couple of things. One is if you don't think you're going to make it, or you're going to make it late, or you're not really sure, you can always pre-submit questions if you'd like for me to address something during the call. And, of course, since we record these and make the replays available the following day, you can always catch that discussion at a time that's convenient for you. And the way to do that, if you want to pre-submit something, each call has its own page. And when you click on that page, you'll see that there's a form there you can fill out and send it to me. And I usually address those first, questions that were pre-submitted. So just FYI, if you don't think you're going to make it, but you want me to address something, I can always do that. And that's the way to do it. Okay, so good shares, and I'm curious as well what everyone is working on. So if you wouldn't mind typing P in the chat area for project and let us know, what are you working on right now? What are you implementing in terms of our work together? Would love to know. And hey, Jacob, good to see you here. Welcome. Happy New Year. So let us know in the chat area what your focus is for this week. This could be a couple of things. Some instances, it could be something that you really focus on right now. In other cases, it could be a good prompt for you. Hey, make sure that you're focusing on something right now, and this will be a prompt to help recalibrate. So projects you're working on right now. What are you implementing in the program? Hannah says, I'm getting going on the marketing plan with my new positioning. Excellent. And I saw that you submitted your web copy for review. So I should be getting that to you tomorrow, Hannah, Thursday at the latest. I have a note to take a look at that. So look forward to that. Kelly, hey, Kelly, welcome. Happy New Year. Kelly is working on warm email prospecting. Great to hear. I saw that you'd had positive response from a PR agency. Good. Happy New Year to you too. Erica says happy 2019 mail out to clients, studying your podcast episode with Jennifer Gregory and identifying my niche. Excellent. Good stuff. I got to get with Jennifer. I had a tentative call with her, I think, next week. We haven't caught up in a while. She's a great, great gal. Wicked smart too. Doug is working on a few follow-ups from between holiday prospecting. Good stuff. All right, anybody else? All right, let's get to questions. And just a reminder, guys, the questions really, there's nothing is off limits. So, everything is really open for discussion here, I should say. This is an opportunity for you to ask something, a question that maybe you're struggling with, get feedback on something. If you want to discuss a specific situation, we can discuss whatever you'd like. The way to do that is just type in a capital Q in the chat area, and just let me know what you've got. Just give me an idea. I'll bring you in and we can have a chat, of course. The only ground rules are pretty straightforward here. Just keep your question focused and specific. One question per person. As you know, I always have time. We can do, a few rounds. I just want to make sure I get everyone an opportunity to ask and to have a discussion with. And once we get to talking, if you are considering some options, let me know what those are too. Just that will help me see how you're thinking through the challenge. So it's an open floor right now. And while I'm waiting, I wanted to remind everyone of the change that we're making in the program. Really nothing earth-shattering in terms of how it's going to impact you. If anything, it's going to be all positive stuff. But we have rebranded this coaching program from the 2X Project to Elevate. sent out an email before the holidays explaining the reasoning behind that and some of the changes that are coming with it. But essentially, what's happening is the 2X project no longer reflects what some of you are trying to do, where you're trying to go. In some cases, yeah, you're really trying to double your income. But there really is a mix of objectives and goals here. Some people are trying to work with better clients. Some people are trying to increase their income to a certain level, but also free up more time for themselves. So it's really not all about 2Xing your income. The other thing that we're trying to do is to create a stronger, better, more positive, and I shouldn't say more positive because it's always a positive community, but a more helpful community that's, you know, not just me and a few of us. So I brought in and merged the Facebook group with coaching clients who have been through the same process, people who are at your level and who, frankly, in some cases, many cases, they've gone even beyond this, who do really, really well. That's a very active community, and I brought them in here. So we've merged the 2X Project alumni community with this one. And so we've opened it up. And now when you ask a question, you don't have to go to the Q&A thread. You can just ask away. And you'll see that you'll hear not just from me, but from some of your peers and folks at all kinds of different levels with a very diverse set of experiences. So I think it's going to be a really positive change for you. Hopefully you're starting to see some of that. In terms of the Facebook group, you know, it's always a little quieter on the holidays. You'll start seeing things pick up there. But I encourage everyone to continue becoming an active participant in the group. You know, this is one of those things that you get what you give, right? So be a giver. It'll come back to you in many different ways. Anyway, I'm really, really excited. And of course, inside the training program, if you've been there over the past week or so, you'll see that we've rebranded that as well. With the new Elevate logo and branding and so forth. So that's another very minor change, but in the emails, you'll see that we'll tag all the emails with the word Elevate instead of 2X Project. So, that's the one part that, you know, will take some getting used to, especially if you've been used to seeing 2X in the subject lines. But, okay. So let's get to questions. I got, one from Hannah, one from Jacob. Hannah says, I'm mostly interested in warm mail prospecting and reaching out to my network for prospecting. A fellow freelancer is starting an agency, which he'll run through Upwork. I'm skeptical of Upwork. Would like your opinion on whether or not to put my energy in there now. Yeah, let's talk about that. Interesting. So let me bring you in. All right. Hey, Hannah, how are you?
Hey, Ed. Happy New Year. Good. How are you?
Happy New Year. Doing well. Doing well. Excited about this year. Great to talk to you. And so tell me about you have a colleague who's starting an agency but through Upwork. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So he's someone I met through freelancing. Oh, gosh, I don't remember. Some freelancing networking thing. And he's a writer too, but he is someone who's always worked through Upwork. And so I guess it's kind of like we have some different philosophies on how to find clients and that kind of thing. And it's kind of just like he does his thing, I do mine. But so he just, you know, mentioned to me that he wants to start running, you know, an agency where he's going to actually have other writers doing things that he doesn't know how to do and everything. But he wants to do it all through Upwork. And I have like one job I completed on Upwork 3 years ago or something, you know? So it's kind of like, I would have to sort of start from the bottom there. And I just don't know if like it's worth it because I'll be getting maybe potentially more work, that whole agency model thing, but I'll be kind of starting from lower than I could get if I just did my own prospecting. So just kind of split there. And I wanted to let him know, you know, I told him I'd get back to him after the beginning of the year. So I thought I'd run it by you. What do you think?
Sure. So just so I understand, are you saying that he's going to be using the Upwork platform to not just find clients, but also to work with them through that? But you would work, if you were to accept, you would work as one of his writers, but you wouldn't have your own profile on Upwork, right?
Well, I would need my own profile. I guess essentially what he's going to be doing is he's kind of been on Upwork for a while. So when he gets things coming into him, and I don't know if he's going to reposition his branding or whatever, but coming into him that he doesn't know that might be along sort of my expertise or whatever, then he might be like, oh, I have another writer who might be better fit for this. And then I think, you know, he'll obviously get a little bit of a cut or something. I don't exactly know the details of.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I will need to have my own profile and, yeah, kind of get work through him. But, yeah.
Well, so here's what I'm hearing is, you know, this is just an opportunity that's come up where you got somebody who's already been in there and, you know, they're looking to, you know, maybe send some work your way, but you would need to create a profile. And, you know, the real question you have to ask yourself is, you know, is that the best channel for you? Is that a viable channel for you? And especially when you look at the opportunity costs, and by that I mean, you know, the time and energy you would put into that, you know, do you think it's reasonable to expect that you could get better results with that time and energy elsewhere?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my biggest question. And it kind of came up because, you know, I've been doing my own prospecting and everything and doing fine, but I've wanted to do better. And he's also in my mastermind group. So he kind of brought it up to me like, oh, well, if you write in that, then I mean, I have work for you, you know, I can throw some more work your way. And then I was like, well, I'm interested, I guess, you know, I can always, you know, just as far as like networking with other freelancers and stuff. But then it was like agency model, I have to go through Upwork. And that kind of was like, well, I don't know then, because it's exactly that. I would have to start from, I have like one job on Upwork, so I would really have to kind of take those lower paying gigs until I had built up a reputation. And it's like, in a way, I feel like I'm already, you know?
I think Upwork is a viable platform for some people who are still kind of the early stages.
Yeah.
You still have to know what you're doing, number one. Number two, I think it has it creates the wrong expectation, I think, in many, because all everyone's paying attention to, I say everyone, is writers. They're only paying attention to the fact that you got thousands of prospects who have raised their hand and identified themselves as having a need, which,
right.
Hey, yeah, that's great. But you need to factor in the other half of that equation, which is how many other people are competing to get that piece of business. And it's always been in all these platforms completely lopsided. There are 10 to 20 times more service providers vying for, you know, each opportunity. So it's not just the number of opportunities. You also have to compare it to the number of competitors. And, you know, some people have been able to make it work because they're very careful about what they choose. They're very strategic about that. But, you know, bottom line is these platforms create the wrong expectation, I think, with clients in terms of, you know, being able to find cheap, affordable, service providers. Let's not even call them affordable, just cheap. So you got to sort through somebody. The best metaphor that I've heard is it's like going to a consignment store. You got to sort through a lot of dresses to find, you know, a lot of junk to find the dress you really want or whatever, you know.
Right.
You need to ask yourself, okay, it's not just the opportunities. It's everyone competing. I'm competing against. I'm starting at the bottom. When you look at the time and energy that I would be investing in this, first of all, what's the opportunity cost of that? What else could I be doing with that time and energy? Number two, is this a viable long-term platform or channel for me? I think that's a big, important question. I would venture to say that it's not. I think it's a short-term fix, and I get the appeal, but what I'm hearing and what I know you're trying to accomplish and where you are right now, I think you're past this.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking too. And I guess it was tempting maybe like end of last year when I was kind of really struggling with this. I would like to have more work than I do. And I almost was like, well, maybe it would be a good way to supplement. But now that I have this new positioning and this new kind of sort of plan that I'm ready to implement, maybe I really need to just focus on that and doing what I can that I know works with that. And that might actually just take me where I need to go, and I might not have to mess with all this Upwork stuff.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a great way of looking at it. So if you had two great opportunities this week, would you even be asking me this question?
No, it's sort of a last resort. Like, well, maybe I guess I should try to do that. I should explore all my options, but I really don't want to. But I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being too kind of like, because I can be a little cringy about Upwork, and I was like, am I just being like judgmental and just being like,
no, not at all. And by the way, notice that nowhere did I say, hey, that's the wrong. I said, based on where you are right now, where you're trying to go and everything you got going on, I don't think this would be the right fit. But I am not one of these people who say, you know, forget about that. It just depends on the situation. I really think you could take that same energy and time and put it somewhere else that would yield better results. If it were a slightly different situation, let's say that he had an agency already going and it wasn't through Upwork, and he was very strategic about and very careful about which clients he brought on board, and he needed your domain expertise and your experience, and you already had an idea of what these opportunities would pay, and it was good, then that's different. But this is not that at all.
Yeah,
what I'm hearing.
A lot of sense. Okay. Yes. And I think I needed that outside perspective. So thank you, Ed. Yes, this is good. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think you're perfect. You know, with your plan right now, it sounds like you've settled on at least your core ones: wormhole prospecting and tapping your network is kind of your core strategies for now.
Yeah.
Which I think is smart.
The whole thing kind of filled out. But yeah, those are the major ones.
Okay. Cool. You may also want to supplement that with LinkedIn as well, which kind of fits nicely with wormhole prospecting and with networking too. So
yeah.
That kind of completes the three-legged stool there for you.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, guys, so this is excellent. And anytime you have something like that, you need a different perspective. That's a great thing to bring here to these calls, because many times it's not clear cut. Number one, we need to factor everything into the decision. And two, I know what it's like. I mean, you're emotionally involved in the decision, so it's hard to get clarity there. So, I can hopefully give you some perspective because I'm not kind of in the middle of it. Okay, Jacob says, how should I handle competing clients? I have a client I've been writing for about 6 months. A direct competitor to them just reached out to me. There's nothing in my current contract that would keep me from writing for this new client also, but are there any unwritten rules I should be aware of? Ooh, interesting. Yeah. Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Ed, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
So, this is a great problem to have.
Yeah.
And they reached out to you, so that's good. So here there is, I think there is an unwritten rule. The unwritten rule is it's not to automatically say no, but it's to proceed with caution, you know?
Okay.
You want to run an ethical business and make sure your clients understand how you operate. And you want to ask a few questions first to see if you could do this ethically. And mm-hmm. I think it really comes down to, you know, how not so much are they competitors, but really what they need help with and where they need help. Would that be a conflict with your current client? Because in many cases it will, but in some cases it's a totally different division, for example, that you're working with. So which doesn't compete. So that's really the first question I tend to ask. So do you know much about, you know, where they need help or how?
Yeah, so they're looking for blog posts, which is what I do for my current client. But they were also looking for potentially other content pieces like ebooks, white papers, that kind of thing.
Okay. And are they already aware that you're working for their competitor?
I'm not sure on that yet. I mean, the competitors on my website and stuff, it's not a secret that I'm writing for them.
Okay.
So if they looked at my website, I would assume that they probably would have seen that, but I'm not completely sure.
Okay. And there's nothing like what I mentioned earlier where it's, this is kind of a separate division where maybe the products you'd be writing about, don't compete with the products you're writing about in company A, your current client. Doesn't sound like it, but.
Yeah, not really. I mean, the new company has, it's kind of one company that owns like two or three other ones, but the one they want me to write for is the one that directly competes with my current
okay.
client.
Okay. So that, you know, that's the other thing is, do they know which, who knows about the other? And then, you know, how competitive is it? And then I think the third one would be, by the way, have you qualified them yet? I mean, have you had a conversation with them?
I'm in the process of that right now. So I've talked about kind of what they're looking for, what they'd want from me. I just sent them, the other day, I just sent them my rates for different, projects that they asked about.
Okay.
And I haven't heard back yet, so I don't know if I scared them off with those and this isn't an issue anyway or what, but, I'll follow up with them and pretty soon, if I don't hear back.
Okay. And I think that's the next step just because, you know, sometimes you don't need to really make an issue out of this until you know, hey, everything else is checked out. Okay. So that's where you're in the process of doing right now. I think the next step is, let's say that everything checks out. They're, you know, they'd like to work with you. I think the next, I would start with them and say, listen, before we proceed, and by the way, FYI, in the future, I may bring up this conversation a little bit earlier, in the engagement with a client, but I might say, you know, before we go too far, I want to let you know that I, you know, one of my clients is ABC, company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'd love to have a conversation with you to see, you know, if and how I can help you. But, if it looks like we might have a fit here, that's something that I'm going to have to address further with you and with ABC because I, you know, want to make sure there's not a conflict here, for anybody and, you know, everything's good. So I would start there, and see how they react. And why start there? Because you don't want to bring this up to your client until you know you have someone who's ready to go. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Like, yeah.
No reason to rock the boat until you know for sure. And let's just say, of course, at that point, it could go in a couple different directions. Let's just say they go, totally get it. That wouldn't be an issue with us. Of course, we'd want you to sign a non-disclosure agreement, a confidentiality, you know, nothing crazy, just standard stuff. Then, okay, cool. Well, listen, here's what I think we need to do. I want to first discuss this with my client and make sure that they're okay with it. And at that point, that's when I would bring it up to your client and just let them know. And I, you know, when I presented this to a client in the past, I said, listen, you're my first priority. You know that I run, a very ethical, business here. And you know, here's what somebody's approached me. Here's who they are. Everything's checked out. They know that I work with you, but I don't want to take them on if you feel this would be a conflict. Or if you feel this would be an issue. I'm confident that I can keep things separate, you know, that sort of thing. But you basically, what you're telling them is, look, you tell me how you feel about it. I'm going to go with whatever you decide.
Okay.
You know, how does that feel to you? Does that sound like something that, does that feel right to you?
Yeah, I think so. I was doing like what you said, where I'm trying to make sure they're actually somebody I'd want to work with before I kind of do anything else, before I approach my current client. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of make sure that, even though there's nothing in my current contract that, I'm not doing anything that, my current client would not like if they found out about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think if anything, what you'll find, let's say it gets to that point, your current client will really appreciate your honesty and your integrity. So I've never heard of a situation where the client suddenly gets really upset that you're even considering this client, and not when you approach it this way.
Right. Okay, great. So,
and I think they'll be impressed that, you know, that, that you're doing this and that you got some, you know, people knocking on your door.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you for the help. But, that's great.
Cool. Keep us posted. I'm curious how it turns out.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Awesome. Yeah. You know, this comes up sometimes, guys. And, I, like I said, I think it's a good problem to have, but, I find that most of my coaching clients tend to really worry about this a little bit too much. And I have found, not just in my business, but in working with clients and coaching clients, that this doesn't come up as often as people think it will. When it does, though, you need to have a plan in how you're going to address it. And I think above all, honesty, sincerity, and integrity are the most important things. You know, your word is your most important asset, and you know, you want to keep that intact. And I know all you guys believe in that, or you wouldn't be here. But that above all is really the most important thing. You know, would it hurt to say no to a really good prospect? Because you know, it would be a problem with your existing client, of course. But I think if anything, assuming it went in that direction, it's going to strengthen your relationship and your trust level with them. And I think it's a good thing. So at the end, I believe it's still a win. No matter what happens here, this is going to be a win. All right. Erica has a question here. She says, I've been working with NGO communication managers, writing instructional content for a local college and writing content for tourism region near Toronto. I worry that I might be stretching myself thin, but I love the variety of the work that comes in. I'm going to rewrite my website. Should I have three separate landing pages and or three separate work sample pages? Yeah. So let's chat. Erica, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. So let's see. So you have like a local college, tourism region, and so what, when you say three separate work sample pages or three separate landing pages, what would be the third one then?
Right. So
NGO.
NGOs. Yeah. So yeah. I think what I was getting at, and I forgot that key part, was identifying my audiences. And those are the three that I came up with.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to go in that direction. It's like, well, wait a minute. So what is your message right now? What have you decided on? Because I know you're making a shift there.
Right. And so it's, I haven't made any changes yet. And so it's still very broad and general. And I'm just not too sure. Well, I guess I thought that I was quote unquote supposed to have just one target market or target audience. But then when I listened to the podcast with Jennifer Gregory, So it sounds from her take, at least, like you can have several different target audiences. And I guess I'm curious whether I'm stretching myself thin and whether I should move forward with the three ideas or focus on the one. I just wanted to get your take on that.
Okay. No, it makes sense. So we got NGOs here. College, so let's say higher ed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is tourism region.
So
do you feel strongly enough about all three of them that you would want to kind of drive three stakes in the ground?
I think I do. I find the NGO work, it sort of fulfills my need to contribute something good to the world because they're causes that I believe in. The higher education is always a good challenge, and I always learn a lot when I write the different courses that I write. And then the tourism work is just fun and I really like doing it. And I think I'm good at it as well. And I feel like all three of them kind of fulfill a need that one single target audience, at least I haven't found the single target audience that would do that.
Yeah, I think it's fine. So I have something to add to what Jennifer said, and just a little bit of background for everybody. So Jennifer said, look, you could have multiple target audiences, but if you do that, you know, you should have different landing pages for each because, you know, you're going to have different messages. I kind of get that. And I, on paper, I think that sounds great. In practice, it's a little bit harder to implement. And I rarely see anybody do this and do it well. The approach that I would try first is to find the common thread. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, what, you know, when you think of all three of these, you know, what's the intersection? Like, what is the common thread here among them? You know, so have you thought about that? You know, like,
yeah.
what's the one thing that ties them together?
I mean, I think in terms of the work that I do, it's going through lots and lots of information and creating something that's engaging and readable for the target audience. But then I also think that sounds like something every writer would claim to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what else? What else? Because you're right, that's kind of a given.
Yeah. The other thing is storytelling, and but specifically real life examples. So I do a lot of interviews for the tourism website restaurant owners or craft brewers about the kind of work that they do and why they're passionate about what they do. And at the same time, I do that for some of my NGO clients as well, just to kind of put a face on the work that they do, as well for the higher ed stuff. I use a lot of case studies using real life examples. So maybe that's a connection.
Okay. What about in terms of experience in each? Obviously, you got clients in each.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What about beyond clients? What professional experience do you have in some of these, even if it's not in all three of them?
I have work experience in all three too. For the NGOs, I worked in the medical research field, which is sort of adjacent, but
okay,
related to the kind of work. Like the kind of NGOs that I work with. I also worked in the tourism industry for several years, and then I worked on site at the college where that subcontracts to me now as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you have professional experience in each. There's mm-hmm. a storytelling element in all three of these. There's the, you know, the more kind of your skill, your gift of, and I think you need to find something maybe a little bit more compelling
mm-hmm.
Than just pouring through information and creating engaging content out of that. I'm sure you can come up with something that's a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more persuasive than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that's fine. If you can say, look, I work with NGOs, higher education, and tourism agencies. These are my three core specialties.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why, you know, here's, mm-hmm. and then you talk through that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of talking through that is what makes you different, right? Because
right.
you got to include that. And then that's when I think having a page for each, it speaks to their challenges, what mm-hmm. matters to them, what you bring to the table, in context, right? And
mm-hmm.
that's when that makes more sense. So you see the difference? In one, it's really, I don't know, it's very detached.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the whole idea is you have separate landing pages and, you know, maybe on your website you have them listed under the navigation, but you're not really doing a good job tying it together. This is what completes all of that.
Right.
This makes sense out of all three.
Yeah.
You know, so a great example that I have, this is kind of extreme, but I like extreme examples because it illustrates the point, is my colleague Casey Demchek. So Casey he started medical devices, and then through a friend who invited him to a convention of authors, he met several authors who really needed help with the book cover copy. Hmm. And like a website for their books and all that. So he started for fun. He took one of them and he loved it. So now he's got, I mean, talk about two very diverse target markets, medical device companies and author speakers and coaches.
Right.
Well, that's and good. He does a really good job of explaining, hey, you know, I have this, but I also have this. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing in terms of, you know, it's this, he's got the experience in each. And I think he even talks about, you know, I have a passion also for author speakers and coaches.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll check out his page.
Yeah. It's just got to, you know, the bottom line is they have to, the prospect has to feel that it wasn't just something you picked out of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not something that you feel, oh, this industry is hot, therefore I'm going to put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have something there that you bring to the table that's real, legitimate, that makes sense to them. And whenever possible, how do you tie these together? You know, mm-hmm. what's the common thread?
Right. Great.
And yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, all of you guys are moving in a direction where this isn't really going to be too much of an issue, because let's face it, you want more of your business coming to you as opposed to you having to go and find business from cold audiences,
mm-hmm.
right? So when it comes to you, the diversity here of audiences doesn't really matter as much.
Okay.
Because you've come referred, or it's been word of mouth, or whatever, right? So that's going to matter less and less. But you do have to try to at least tie them together, explain why these three. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think it's fine to have a separate page for each explaining your value proposition for each target audience.
Great.
Okay.
That helps. Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Okay, so cool. So you're set. You know where to go next then?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Perfect. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Good stuff, guys. So open floor right now. If anyone has something they want to talk about, just let me know. Type in capital Q in the chat box and let me know. You don't have to give me all the details there. Just let me know you have a question, roughly what it's about, and we can chat. The other thing to, you know, regarding this topic is you should be paying attention to this at least once a year. You know, it's most of us just kind of select a target market and then just go with the flow. But you should be paying attention to, okay, how are each of these working for you, or how is your one single target market working for you? Does it make sense to adjust some of this, to take something out, to maybe focus a little bit more, to maybe expand a little bit more? I think Erica was the one who said, hey, I'm not going to go with the flow, I'm going to paddle. Just to kind of expand on that metaphor, is sometimes going with the flow in a positive way, meaning like letting the market kind of guide you, also makes sense in terms of, you know, let's just use her examples. You know, she really likes tourism. She enjoys higher ed, brings her satisfaction, and this is her contribution to society. You know, maybe what's happening is, let's just say, hey, this is where things are really happening. Is here, and this is where I'm getting a lot of traction. this I really enjoy, but it's, you know, it's been stagnant with just one main client and then kind of one that comes and goes, and I'm starting to get more here, you know. So one way to look at it is, you know, does it make sense to maybe at some point narrow it down to just one or two? And then knowing that when it comes to this, you're pretty much, you know, you have that one anchor client there that's not huge, and then the rest of them that might come will come to you via word of mouth. And again, when it's word of mouth, these prospects don't typically care that, let's say, you took this off your website, for example, or maybe you kind of de-emphasized it. So I'm not saying do that. I'm saying you should review this once a year and see what makes sense. And in most cases, what you're going to find is, and this is a very organic kind of turn of events, is you will naturally kind of niche down as your business grows. So, you know, you may start kind of broader here, and let's just say healthcare. And then it might be, you know, health tech. And then eventually it might be, you know, something, electronic health records. Or it might be, and there might not be another one here. Maybe this is, you kind of stop here. But maybe what could happen, and I've seen this many times, is this ends up becoming kind of a split. So e-health records and something else. And then you focus your time and energy on this. And the cool thing about it, taking an organic approach and doing this in an iterative fashion, is that you don't arrive at that overnight. You take it one step at a time. You do well here, but then you start landing more and more health tech companies, maybe not so much by design. Maybe some of it was by design, some wasn't. And before you know it, you're doing quite a bit, again, here. So you decide to go ahead and take a chance and narrow down. Now, when you do this, in a way, you're saying no to some other things that could be here. But you are now kind of the mayor. You're one of the ones that, you know, one of the names that get passed around when prospects ask their colleagues for references or referrals to a writer. You become kind of the go-to guy or gal, and that's a great, great place to be. But, you know, again, you move in this direction one step at a time, and when you do this annual review, you're going to start seeing those possibilities. So, you know, Erica might start out with these three here. She's just pivoting right now. And then in a few months, you know, she might narrow it down to two, or it could be still three, but this one has now changed. This is a new one. She's replaced one of the other two. And in here, she might decide to just, you know, stick to two. And she might still be at three. It's really important to keep looking at this. And I guess I should have... Oh, I thought my iPad was showing. So here's where, sorry about that. So here's where I went with that. You know, you start with this broad area, then healthcare tech, and then, you know, maybe split between two subcomponents of healthcare tech. And, you know, you just do this one step at a time. Yeah. Hannah has a question here. So Hannah, you are on.
Hey, so that was actually helpful. A lot of stuff you went over with Erica too, but so yeah, we were kind of talking about that for me, sort of focusing on the health IT or health tech. So yeah, for my website, for my copy, I think what I went with was health IT, clean tech, and then I did put, I think, fast, because I see those three things as somewhat related. You know, it's kind of...
And what was the third one, Hannah? I didn't hear that.
Oh, SaaS. So, you know, software as a service.
Oh, SaaS. Okay.
Just in general, yeah. Just because I figure, you know, I'm going to leave that one slightly broad for now and see if anything works out there. But so That's kind of my trifecta that I went with for now, because they're all connected with tech. They all, I think, can sort of work together in one way or another, you know, where SaaS people can sell to health companies and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then clean tech, you know, it's closely related with health because it's like sort of a public health thing or whatever. But so that's where I started. Two things I was thinking with mine was, and I sort of was batting off the, you know, shiny object thing, where a lot of things in health actually appealed to me. Some of the, you know, like even like senior care and lots of other things. But as you were going through that thing with Erica, I think I got some clarity on that. I'm just going to start with the health IT and then see if any other sort of sub niches kind of reveal themselves as I'm working and as I get
clarity. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing was, I also have done some writing in finance, but it's been more sort of personal finance, not, you know, corporate finance, so financial services and that kind of thing. It's something that interests me, something that I like reading about, but I just don't want to have too many things going on. So is four too many? Do you think three is a good number?
I think three is about the limit.
Right.
Four is too many, especially if number four is kind of out here.
Right, and it kind of,
you know, so we're really talking about B2C finance, right?
Yeah, and there's
and
some, yeah, opportunity to make it B2B, but it would be kind of a stretch. So yeah, okay.
There are exceptions. So keep in mind the downside of this is that it's you know, typically this is going to be, you know, lower pay. Not across the board, but generally speaking, you know, anytime you're talking about consumer, business to consumer content, that has a high risk of being commoditized if it's not already. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is, so the one exception though might be if you already have some contacts there, and let's say you have a client. But I would say if you got something going there and it's generating income, then keep it, but I wouldn't necessarily put it on your website. Why? Because, you know, you already have something going and you can actually get more business there for now before having to risk putting it on your site. You can do that through your contact. You know, so ABC Company, you know, your buddy, Rich over there is, you know, you can see if maybe he can refer you to somebody else. And you could do it that way. And again, the person he refers you to, Susan, may not care that this is what she sees on your website. You come referred and, you know, you're talking about this. So that would be an exception. But generally speaking, this is going to be the problem. And the fact that you've now wedged something else in here that really you kind of need to wedge. You know, it feels like you're trying to make it work.
Absolutely. Yep. That makes sense.
At this point, now it's starting to sound like you're a generalist.
Yep. That was my initial thought. It was like, I'm interested
yeah.
in this too, but if I try and squeeze it in here, I'm definitely squeezing it in. And it's a little bit out of left field. And yeah, yep, it's too broad.
The other exception I just thought of is, you know, if it fit here.
Right.
Yep. SaaS. Right, because this is just a category. It's very broad.
Right, but that may be something that I can okay, but that might be something. Yeah, I can sort of as I'm going see if I can find opportunities there or see if anything arises. But don't put it on the website. Don't. That's not for me.
Yeah, totally. I had a client. They were a SaaS company. They came. They found me, but they were. They developed the company kind of. Was formed by accident. They had this prior company where they had to develop all these automated systems to run really lean. So things that were very tedious and time consuming and normally would take several people, they created algorithms and manual automated processes that would take care of all those things. And they got really, really good at it. And they realized, you know what? We could actually take that same technology and package it as in a separate company, for compliance management. So, you know, with all the financial regulations that came out in the 2000s, companies suddenly had to do all this stuff that was extremely time consuming and tedious and repetitive. And so they had all this. So they were a SaaS company that, you know, in the financial sector that was able to do that, compliance management, basically. It was really, really cool. And, so that would be different. So I'm not like, you know, my target market was software, but I wasn't necessarily a financial tech guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool.
Okay.
And then the last thing, which this is probably something that you'll probably do when you look at my website, but just if you want to maybe make a note for yourself for when you go do that. My biggest thing right now is just my tagline. It used to be content with a conscience because I was focusing so much on sort of social impact stuff.
Yeah. Anymore.
I changed it to smart content with a conscience, but it's still like, what does that mean? So just make a note for when you go over the website.
A tagline. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Thank you.
All right. No problem. This is good. Was that process helpful? I know it can be painful, but repositioning.
Yeah. Hugely, hugely helpful. It felt really, really great. And yeah. And then just going over the marketing, going through the marketing module as well. And I have my whole yearly marketing schedule printed out and on my wall. So I'm feeling really good. Yeah.
Awesome. Great to hear. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I know it can be a painful process. It's when some of you have gone through it, but it's, you know, it's kind of like giving birth, not like I would know anything about that, but it looked painful to me. I know I got somebody in here. I'm not sure if that's Lee, because the shows, there's a Samsung Galaxy S7. That's how it shows under participants. But we have somebody new in the group, Lee Vasquez Noon, and I'm not sure. I know she was going to try to join us today. And we got somebody who might be coming on board also this week. We're still corresponding, but hopefully we'll have a couple of new folks here. All right, guys, let's do this. I'm just want to check in and see what you are thinking so far. And what I'd love to know is what's been most valuable so far in our discussion. Type in a capital V in the chat area and let me know. So it could be something you and I talked about, maybe something you heard from a conversation that I had with somebody else in the group. Just curious to know what's been good, what's been helpful. Okay, Jacob said, yeah, what you said about competing clients was really helpful. Good. Good to know. Yeah, I think that's something that everyone eventually comes across. So I'm glad that the timing worked out. We're able to talk. Of course, anything like that, guys, that comes up. Please let me know in the Facebook group. I'm there every business day. And of course, if it's time sensitive, you know, just let me know as well. Hey, I got to get back to somebody today or whatever. I'll do my best to get back to you. Kelly says, same thing about competing clients. Cool. Erica says, confirmation that Upwork isn't worth the time and effort at this point and help managing different target audiences. Good. Okay. Hannah says, everything you went over with me and Erica on target market and the competing clients. Good to know. Awesome. Yeah. Good stuff. One of the things about, you know, the work we do is that one of the first questions I ask myself is, are there enough prospects out there that I don't necessarily have to go this particular route to find them? You know, so going back to the Upwork thing. And in many cases, the answer is, yeah, there are absolutely enough. Okay. So let me try to find them somewhere else first. That kind of factors into a decision like that. All right. So again, open floor. I'll do one last call. I'm in no hurry, but I want to make sure I don't miss anybody who's been holding out. And while I'm waiting, again, just a reminder that now in the Facebook group, in order to just kind of open it up and make it much more flexible, and so that, you know, you get feedback from not just me but from others, we have gotten rid of the Q&A thread. So now when you have a question, just go ahead and post it. It makes it a little more difficult in terms of, you know, for me when I scan them. Sometimes, as you've probably noticed, Facebook won't put the most recent post up on top. I have no idea how they make their decisions as to how to organize the post, but yeah, just post it anywhere. And of course, I'm there every business day, but you'll also then get feedback from others. Same thing with website review. For now, we're going to try to just leave it open as well. So when you have, if you have your website copy that you want me to review, just post it as its own independent post there in the Facebook group. And I got somebody in my team who's just scanning the Facebook group pretty much every day, and she's just assigning a to-do for me so I don't miss it. If it gets to be where we're missing them, then we might go ahead and create a thread just for website reviews. But I think for now we're going to try it as simple as possible. All right. I don't see any other questions. So here's what I'd like to do just to kind of close things out. As you know, we started with wins. I want to make sure we end with action items. You guys are very diligent. You're very focused people, but I want to make sure for your sake, okay, and for mine, that you have a tangible action item that you're going to work on over the next 2 weeks, okay, between now and the next call. So let's say a two-week period. What is your top action item? What's going to be your big focus over the next couple of weeks? Okay, I want to give you an opportunity here to get clear on that and to go ahead and commit to getting that that done here in the next 2 weeks. Type in capital A in the chat area and let us know. All right, I see Kelly says, I'm going to make warrior prospecting a habit. Perfect. Yeah, start with just baby steps, right? And just a daily commitment, even if it's a very small commitment. At first, really, it's really more about the consistency and less about how much you're doing. Kelly, just to develop that habit. So good for you. Hannah, 5 minimum prospecting emails a day, reaching out to old contacts and fellow freelancers. Excellent. All right, who else? Erica, follow up with 3 warm prospects, complete happy 2019 client mail out, and begin writing new web content. Excellent. That sounds like some good stuff for the next 2 weeks. Who else am I missing? I'm missing Doug, missing Jacob. Doug says, still working on micro-step activity. Great results so far. Fantastic, right? It's crazy. Sometimes we feel, no, it's not worth it. It's got to be big stuff. Well, actually, baby steps compound on themselves, don't they? Good stuff. All right, guys. So great discussion today. Went kind of deep in a couple of important areas. So thank you for bringing those to the table. Again, let's continue that conversation in the Facebook group, and use this as a resource. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource, and I look forward to continuing that there. If you're at a point where it's been 60 to 90 days since your last game plan, and you feel you really have momentum with what you have right now, let me know. Let us know either in the Facebook group or email me, email Crystal. And Crystal's actually out of town until Saturday. She's out this whole week. But let me know, and we can send you a link where we can get a little bit of information from you so we can do a revised game plan. So a couple of you have already done that. But, again, it's once you feel that you've gone through the training, you've implemented it, you're at a good place, you're ready kind of for the next thing, then let us know, and we'll get you all set up. All right, you guys have a great rest of the week. Again, happy new year. I look forward to seeing where you guys go here over the next few months. I know it's going to be a great year for all of us. Just have a great rest of the day, and yeah, we'll talk real soon. Take care, everybody.